This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As America marks its 250th anniversary, we're looking back at 2.5 centuries of rebellion and liberty through the eyes of the heroes who defended it.
The whole thing about this country is freedom. If we're not careful, we could lose that.
On Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage, we bring you the defining moments of valor that went above and beyond the call of duty. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. If you are over all the Iran crap, you might want to fast forward it if you're listening to the podcast. If you're on the radio, it is what it is. But I promised you, look, you're interested in it. Fridays belong to you. I have all your emails here. I think there's 3 or 4 of them. I'm going to answer them, and then we shall move on to other things. Okay? All right. So let's tackle them, lovers, haters. It is what it is. Look, I can't avoid it as much as I have tried to avoid it. I can't avoid it because it's the international story right now, and there is so much at stake, not just internationally, but domestically, because we understand full well, unless you're a complete brain-dead loser at this point in time, we understand full well that if we don't get back home soon, it will mean significant losses at the polls. It will mean more communist control in our country. It will. That's the numbers. You can argue that's worth it. That's fine. You can argue it's not. That's fine. But that's reality. Jesse, I may be in the minority, but I really didn't agree with the ceasefire because I don't trust Iran one bit. I remember when they captured the hostages the year I graduated from high school. I remember seeing them released and what they've been doing for the last 47 years. I don't think they'll ever change because that's who they are, human shields and all. It's not like I'm pro-war either, but I do feel like this was necessary. It's hard to comprehend, but even some of my coworkers really believe that Trump was going to commit genocide. I too pray for peace and what is best for this country. And I, by the way, I love that email. And I want to remind you that wherever you're falling on this whole thing, now, really, and always, is still a time for prayer. Pray, pray, pray. What happens in these coming days is going to be huge. Now, let's address what she said. I didn't agree with the ceasefire. Well, this is a point that I have tried to make that people have taken, many people have taken the wrong way. Many people are just too dumb and they'll never take it. What, Chris? I'm just trying to be honest. Many people are too dumb and they're in love, so they can't see things clearly anyway. But this is the point I've tried to make continually about any peace agreement that may come. What I have said is it's going to have a lot of really bad stuff in it. And stuff that you're not going to like. Why? And the responses I've got to, you don't understand, you don't have enough faith in Trump. Stop being a freaking idiot. It's not about Trump. Iran is run by scumbags. Scumbags who want scummy things. And they are going to insist that some scummy things are included in any peace agreement. That's the way it works. Otherwise, they wouldn't agree to a peace agreement. And we're already running into, as I predict, remember, this is a very fragile ceasefire, an unbelievably fragile ceasefire. J.D. Vance, vice president, I think as we speak, is still in the air on his way over to Pakistan, and he's supposed to sit down with the Iranians. Okay? Well, already this thing has been playing out in public, and we're learning more and more. what kind of things have been playing out in public. Remember when I said this is fragile? Well, here's how fragile it is. Vice president's in the air to go negotiate the whole thing. The Iranian, I think he's basically their Speaker of the House. I'll describe him that way. So this is not some random person on Twitter. Their Speaker of the House said, negotiations? We're not negotiating a thing until our assets are released. Remember, we've frozen their assets. Until our assets are released and until we understand that there's not going to be anything else going on in Lebanon. Now that brings us to another thing, which begs the question, maybe you're wondering, well, what's been going on in Lebanon? Remember, Lebanon is right next to Israel. They border Israel, right? Lebanon used to be, from what I understand, a beautiful, well, I guess geography-wise, it's supposed to be beautiful, wonderful, supremely safe Christian nation. I was never alive at this time, never saw it. The jihadis took it over. Lebanon has been the headquarters, the home of Hezbollah. Now, let's cover this, too. We tend to lump all jihadi terrorist groups, we lump them all in as one gigantic group, like they're all the same. They're not the same. There are big, radical differences between Al-Qaeda and ISIS and Boko Haram and all these different ones. Hamas, Hezbollah, it's not that they're not scummy jihadis. I'm not saying that. This is as advanced as a jihadi terror network is in the world. I'm talking advanced training. They have quality equipment. This is, if you have to have a top tier for terrorism, that would be Hezbollah. And they've been in Lebanon waging war on Israel for as long as I can possibly remember, doing everything they can to hurt Israel and wage war on Israel. So, Netanyahu has taken this opportunity, the opportunity of us attacking Iran, he has taken this opportunity to, in his own words, expand this conflict and start pummeling Hezbollah in Lebanon, right? Now, Chris is our, calm down, Chris. Let's remember, we're always going to treat this like big boys here from everyone's perspective. From Netanyahu's perspective, it's an opportunity they've always wanted. The opportunity is there. From Netanyahu's perspective, those people who shoot rockets at us all the time, I finally have the opportunity. I finally have essentially the cover, because America's involved on my behalf. I have the cover I need to bomb them to smithereens. Now, Chris, while I'm talking, I want you to go dig up a piece of audio, and this is the audio. I want you to dig up the piece of audio where Trump is ranting and raving, and he's talking about, I think, Hamas and Netanyahu, and he says, and he actually cusses, he drops an F-bomb, so you might have to beep it, and he says they don't know what the beep they're doing. All right, so Jewish producer Chris, while he grabs that, let's come back to the conversation we're currently having. We get a ceasefire kind of with Iran. Now, ceasefires already really, really, it's really fragile right at the beginning. I'll get to it in a minute, Chris. It's really fragile in the beginning anyway. Iran says, all right, we'll stop shooting for a minute. And we say, all right, well, we'll stop shooting too. Do you want to, should we meet? Maybe try to work out a peace agreement? We're all hesitant right now. We say, we will. Iran says, all right, we will. Let's do it. There's a disagreement, and you don't know who to believe, on whether or not Lebanon, which Netanyahu is currently attacking, Hezbollah in Lebanon, on whether or not they were included. Remember when Donald Trump, this was about Hamas, it's standing next to a jet, so you're going to have to allow that for the sound, came out and said this.
We basically have two countries that have been fighting so long and so hard that they don't know what the f*** they're doing. Do you understand that?
What was he angry about? Trump was trying to get that whole thing calmed down and wrapped up. He got a ceasefire agreed to. And after the ceasefire, surprise, surprise, Hamas kept attacking. But so did Netanyahu. Leading up to it. The ceasefire was going to begin, I forget what the timeline was, at like midnight.
Netanyahu sends a truckload of bombs over there right before it to kill as many of them as he possibly could right before it. And Trump publicly said that and freaked out about the whole thing. What are you beeping doing? Netanyahu did the same thing here. Hey, you said ceasefire. No one told me it was about Lebanon. Trump got on the phone. This happened earlier today, I believe, or late last night. Trump got on the phone with Netanyahu. Now, you don't know who to believe here. Some say it was tense. Some say it was cordial. I wasn't on the call. I don't know. Some say Trump was very, very angry. I do not have any idea. I'm not telling you what's true or not because I don't know. What I do know is the call took place. You can go read about it. Trump said, stop freaking attacking Lebanon when I'm trying to get a peace agreement done. He somehow, kindly or otherwise, Netanyahu got put in his chair earlier today by Donald Trump. But it wasn't just stern words for Netanyahu. Trump is out there publicly blasting Iran. I'm hearing rumors you're not allowing ships through the strait. I hope that's not true. We're loading up the bombs. You better be ready for peace. He even told him earlier today, this is your only freaking chance. We'll get to the rest of your emails, but this was a long way of me saying, when I said this was a fragile ceasefire, as soon as the ceasefire came down, I mean, it is freaking fragile. Because again, I want to reemphasize, there is a chance that two of the three entities involved do not want to stop fighting. All right? We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Friday and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. To touch on one last point on the lady's question, she doesn't agree with the ceasefire because she doesn't trust Iran. Well, you should never trust Iran. Iran has proven over the years that it's a jihadi government that can't be trusted. That doesn't mean you don't try to work out a deal. You have to do deals with crappy people all the time. We used to do deals with the Soviet Union in World War II all the time. You do deals with crappy people all the time. Doesn't mean it's going to hold up. Doesn't mean a deal is ever going to be reached. I'm very skeptical that a deal even can be reached, for a variety of different reasons, which we have discussed and we will continue to discuss. Trump needs to have a deal here. He needs to get a deal here. Politically, economically, possibly militarily, Donald Trump has to have a deal here. Now, let me explain this, because Jewish producer Chris brought this up. It's an old story, and it's not my story to tell, but it is a story that I've relayed to you before. This actually pertains to Afghanistan. There are many parts of the world that we do not understand. I just explained that two of the three entities probably don't want this conflict to end. Israel definitely doesn't want this conflict to end. That's a guarantee. So that's already a problem. That's one third of the people involved. But Iran, when I say that, people say, what? Why? How could they're getting bombed to smithereens? A lot of Eastern mentality as it pertains to war is generational, meaning war is generational. The story I'll relay to you, I'm just going to be very vague about the whole thing now, forget the details on it, but an Afghani was talking to an American fighting in Afghanistan and informed him that you will not win, you cannot win. And the American said, you're insane. We win all these firefights. Our equipment is better. There's nothing like the American fighting man. And the Afghan didn't deny any of that. He said, no, I got all that. But after I'm done and dead, my sons will fight. And after they're done and dead, their sons will fight. We will simply outlast you. This is generational for us. We won't ever stop, so you can't possibly win because it's not generational for you. It's not your very existence on the line. I'm not saying that is the mentality of the Iranian regime. But because we're dealing with jihadis, you know, the whole 72 virgin nut jobs and things like that, we look at it and we say, we've wiped out 90% of your Air Force and Navy. Your economy's got to be about in shambles by this point in time because of this entire thing. You're choking off the strait. Well, you're choking off your own money. You're about to submit, right? How many conflicts has the United States of America been in when we were doing that to an enemy And we said those words almost verbatim. You've got to be about done, right? You're almost done, right? But you don't have any money left. What, people were starving. You're almost done, right? And sometimes Vietnam comes to mind. Sometimes the answer is no, you're almost done. I'll send another generation out to die. I'm not worried about it. These lives don't mean anything to me. I know you've got another election coming. I brought up something I brought up at the beginning. You think the Iranians can't read the poll numbers? You think we're the only ones who watch these polling recaps and see the mood of the public? You think they don't have TV over there? I got news for you. They do. They still have the internet, too. They know. You think Iran hasn't done the timeline? All right. What if Trump follows through on all this, bombs out the power plants and everything else? Yeah, that's going to suck for a while. But what is the date? April 10th? November's coming. You think they don't know? They know. Jesse, let's get on. You think Trump is being set up, pushed into bombing Iran to smithereens, and then if Democrats win the White House in 2028, they import the entire country of Iran to America. Is that a crazy thought? I mean, I would call you crazy, except that seems to happen virtually every single time we start dropping bombs in the Middle East. As soon as we start dropping bombs somewhere, we take that barbarian culture and we bring them over here en masse. If you don't believe me, please go enjoy the local Afghani cuisine in your Midwestern town. It happens time and time and time and time and time again. So I could never answer a question like that and be all, you're crazy, you're a conspiracy theorist. And is that the grand plan for each and every one of these things? I don't want to say that. And I want to say that this was a grand conspiracy to manipulate Trump, and now we're going to be over. I'm not going to say that at all, but it does seem to work out that way so often. We want to kind of do a war halfway at the same time. Anybody who's displaying, Chris, quit it. Jewish producer Chris said, it's because your Jewish masters won't let you, Jesse. Chris is Mossad. Anyway, quit. I'm not saying it's a grand conspiracy. I'm not saying it's not. But it is wild how often it seems to work out that way. The countries where we drop the bombs, we get the population that gets displaced. We drop the bombs, we get the population. We drop the bombs, we get the population. Over and over and over and over and over again, it kind of seems to work out that way. I don't know about you. I'm kind of tired of getting the population of anywhere. But what about people from, nope, don't care. But I like the people. I don't care. We are all filled up over here. We are busy evicting, not taking in anymore. Now, let's talk about this. Let's talk about your testosterone. The coming days, the coming years, they are going to be rocky, probably, in some way. I know that you need to have energy for it, that you need to have logical thinking, a mind that works well. I know that I get emails from 70-year-old women, 80-year-old men that tell me since they've started taking natural herbal supplements from Chalk, they don't even need naps anymore. They have so much energy for the day. I know that I've been taking it for 4 years, and it's, what, 7 o'clock at night right now? 6:30 something? I don't know. I'm so fired up, I could do 3 more shows after this one's over. Do you want to feel like that? Young, old, men, women, Chalk has something for you, the best natural herbal supplements ever. I take a male vitality stack. You want pre-workout, they have it. You want a way to start your day with vitamins and minerals, they have chocolate powder. You want endless options for you to make your life better. C-H-O-Q. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. Get a subscription, save some money. We'll be back.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
2026 marks the 250th anniversary of America. The soul of this country is found in the stories of those who defended it. I'm J.R. Martinez, a U.S. Army veteran. I know that true valor isn't just a word. It's a choice made in a split second. That's why I'm honored to bring you a brand new season of Medal of Honor Stories of Courage from Pushkin Industries and iHeart Podcast. You'll fly into the heart of a rescue mission with Air Force pilot James Fleming in Vietnam.
I'm going to put you out in the middle of hell. If you have to come home, I'll bring you home. That's my duty. It's my honor.
We'll also travel back to 1926 to witness Richard Byrd's historic flight over the North Pole. These are more than just stories of combat. They are testaments to leadership, community, and the human spirit. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Friday and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Remember, you can email the show, Jesse at jessekellyshow.com. Probably our last couple Iran questions here, and then we'll motor along to everything else we have to talk about because there are lots and lots of things out there. Hey, Jesse, any chance Mossad lied to Trump and tricked him into the war with Iran because it's the last chance, last best chance for Israel, as I've talked about? Is there any chance Mossad did that? Okay, so let's talk about this. When it comes to Israel, Israel's one of those things that a lot of radio hosts either don't touch or they touch it in such a way that's so weird and odd. Israel evokes the strongest possible feelings in people. It's either the all Israel all the time. It is that we have to lay down and die for Israel at any turn. It's either that or it's the exact opposite. It's the dirty Jews controlling everything, controlling the world. It's always there's never just the reality of life. And the reality of life is different countries have different motivations, are allies sometimes, sometimes at cross purposes. I've never denied that there is obviously a lot of Israeli influence in our country. And I've covered the history of that and the why about that. But because everyone exists in this extreme when it comes to Israel, I'm not insulting you, but we get the, is there any chance Mossad lied? So I'll say this. Yeah, there's a chance. And here's why. Here's what we, I shouldn't say what we know, but I do find it interesting the report was not refuted. Donald Trump is stressed out of his mind right now about this whole thing. He's not going to tell you that. That's not Donald Trump's style. But we'll get to an obvious show of why or how. Yeah, he's very, very stressed right now. He understands he might have opened up a can of worms he cannot close, just like he did during COVID. So let's recap the story that got put out there. Allegedly from White House sources. Now, I recap this story. Keep in mind, Donald Trump has always been the first one to go public on a story he thinks is false and blast that story with both barrels of a double-barrel shotgun. This is a freaking lie. This never happened. You're a dirty liar. I'm going to sue you into oblivion. This story came out a few days ago. Donald Trump has not said a word about it. Here is the story. The story is that Netanyahu got with Donald Trump and said, we can take care of Iran together and it'll be a 4-week operation. That's what they say he said, 4 weeks. We have a plan. We're going to do this, this, and this. You're going to do this, this, and this. 4 weeks, and we're going to have this wrapped up. Trump, obviously, is not just going to take this call, just him and Netanyahu. I'm sure that's why the story got out there. Trump brings in the people he trusts. He brings in Marco Rubio. He brings in J.D. Vance. He brings in John Ratcliffe, CIA Director John Ratcliffe. And they're all there when this pitch gets made. Hey, 4 weeks. I take that back. I don't know if they were all in the room when the pitch gets made. They were all given the pitch afterwards or there. Either way, Trump says, hey, John Ratcliffe, director of the CIA, 4 weeks? Can we get over there? 4 weeks? Get this done? Wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. Come home.
John Ratcliffe, I forget what word he used. It was some fancy college boy word, but it was, no. That's the most far-fetched thing I've ever heard in my life. Rubio, according to the story, actually said a potty word. It said, 4 weeks? That's total BS. Only he actually said the word. That's what the story is. I believe J.D. Vance said it's ludicrous. J.D. Vance was apparently the strongest voice in the room, dead set against it. This is completely bonkers. Now, here's where we have to stop, because I don't know the answer to what I'm about to say. Chris just said, all of our guys said no. Not saying that. According to the story, all of those guys said no, and those guys said no loudly, which begs the question. Netanyahu wanted it. Those three guys said, that's insane. Donald Trump decided to do it anyway. Was there someone else involved in that decision-making? I don't know the answer to that question. And when I say someone else, was Susie Wiles there saying, yeah, let's go to war? I don't know. I'm not saying she was. I have no idea. Was his dirtball son-in-law, Jared Kushner, was he there pushing for this war? I don't know. Jared Kushner is usually the author behind whatever dumb thing Trump ends up doing. If he does something terrible, you can almost always trace it back to Jared Kushner. Remember, Donald Trump got up and gave a speech and he said, well, Steve, that would be Steve Witkoff, Steve and Jared said they're about to have a nuclear weapon. I don't know what Jared said, though. I don't like him, so I'm biased, but I don't know that he pushed it. I don't know that Steve Witkoff pushed it. I don't know that it was anyone else. What I do, I shouldn't say no. According to the story, one, Donald Trump has not denied at all. Rubio was a, no. John Ratcliffe, CIA director, no. J.D. Vance was a, please no. And Netanyahu said it'll be fast and easy. Whatever happened from there, whoever else is responsible for the decision, to be honest with you, is completely inconsequential. The decision was Trump's to make. Donald Trump is the commander-in-chief, and Donald Trump made the call. And the problem is, it's not just Donald Trump. If it turns out to be a political disaster, an economic disaster, even maybe a military disaster, and I'm not saying it's going to be, I don't know that yet. If it turns out to be one of those three things, or two of those three things, or God forbid, three of those three things, if it turns out to be that, that's got to land on Donald Trump's desk. It just does. And it won't matter who said you should, we can, it'll be quick, it'll be easy. That's got to land on Donald Trump's desk. It just does. It has to. When you're sitting in the big boy chair, you got to own it for better or worse. Your head football coach, when he calls a run, they've been stopping the run all game. It's fourth down. It's going to decide the game. He calls a running play. That running play gets stopped. Head coach is going to have to sit there and own that. He's going to be asked about that. He might lose his job about that. But vice versa, look, hey, that run gets through. Touchdown. They're pouring Gatorade on him, and he's holding up a championship trophy, and he gets a contract extension for $10 million a year, and life is grand. That's what happens when you're sitting in the big boy chair. But one thing we have to always remember is it is most definitely Donald Trump sitting in the big boy chair for better or worse. I don't know where this journey is going, and I'm only going to answer one more email about it, then we're moving on and talk about other things. I don't know where this journey is going. I don't know whether it's going to cause the breakup of NATO, whether it's going to be a long ground war, whether we're going to get a peace plan and get out and come home and fix everything. I don't know. Nobody knows. But the decision to go is Donald Trump's. However it ends, it's going to be on Donald Trump. I'm only answering one more on this. We'll move on to other stuff. Hang on.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Friday. If you miss any part of the show, you can download it. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. All right, final one on this. Chatto. The subject of this one is Trump is losing his base. I am stunned at the speed at which Trump is alienating his base. The America First crowd is disgusted with how he is seemingly moving in the interest of Israel at the expense of his own country's needs. He just blasted many of his most staunch supporters who have had the nerve to criticize this blunder. Yeah, Trump came out in this long social media post and blasted all these people who do shows, podcasts, things like that. And now, with the temporary ceasefire, this guy goes on, he is poised to alienate his Israel First base because it looks like they will not get what they want. If a permanent compromise with Iran is reached, is it possible that he loses both? Have you ever seen such a catastrophic fall from grace? I'm in disbelief. Okay, let's address this part first, separate from Trump. Have you ever seen such a catastrophic fall from grace? Do you remember when Tiger Woods, I know he got in the news recently, he got DUI, something like that, but I'm not big on celebrity news, but I do remember years ago, do you remember when Tiger Woods had this unbelievable fall from grace? And there was a lot to it. A lot of it's all kind of ugly, salacious stuff that I won't get into because, you know, the kids listening and it's just not my thing. But Tiger Woods was at the time with kids married to just one of the most beautiful women in the world, one of the most beautiful women you've ever seen in your life. And on top of a lot of other stuff, it came out that Tiger Woods had a fling with an IHOP waitress. This is not about Tiger Woods or IHOP. It's not about that. Men, all men, and I suppose women too, I don't want to speak for them, but all men are prone, even when everything's going well, maybe because everything is going well, to do something so dumb. Just on its face, you look and you think, what? You gave that up for an IHOP waitress? I don't understand. I've known guys who've gotten in trouble with the law and lost their business for $10,000 in taxes. We're talking millionaires. You don't want to pay $10,000 in taxes? You risk it all for $10,000 in taxes? By the way, I currently have a friend. It's not about taxes. I currently have a friend. He's doing very, very well financially, extremely well financially. He is also, I know because he tried to get me involved, he is also doing something that is illegal, that benefits him. It's a financial crime, by the way. I'm not going to go into the details. He's doing something illegal and completely separate from the multi-million dollar business that he's running. And when he tried to get me to get involved, I just chewed him out top to bottom. I said, are you the dumbest person in the history of mankind? You have this, 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 and this, and you're risking all that for what? What are you doing? I'll just come back to what I said in the beginning. All world leaders throughout history, not all, but most world leaders throughout history, they find the appeal of foreign adventuring to be irresistible. Irresistible. They look out at their own kingdom, whatever it may be, and whether they've fixed everything at home or not, they start to look over the border. They start to wonder, what is past the mountains? What is across the sea? What's past that desert? Could I go take it? Men, especially super powerful men, leaders of nations, have always
fallen in love with foreign adventuring. It's like that siren in the Iliad, the sirens, the beautiful woman who's calling out to you in such a beautiful way, and you go over to her and you die. She's leading you to her destruction over and over and over again. We could go down the list of the men throughout history who fell in love with the idea of foreign adventuring. And they always, every single one of them, 100% of the time, tries to sell it to their own people of, I have no choice, we have to, our very civilization is at stake, I've got to go get them, they might come here tomorrow if I don't go get them, I have to go. And they want to ride off on that horse with an army behind them and the people cheering, and they dream of the day where they come back with trumpets blaring and beautiful women throwing rose petals in the street, and they can raise their arms up and say, build a statue of me. I have gone on a foreign adventure, and I have come home victorious. The conqueror, like Alexander the Great. Powerful men find it to be irresistible. They just do. The good ones do. I believe Trump is good. The bad ones do. You know, Hitler had all of Europe. All of continental Europe, he had it. You realize that if Hitler just stops, he's probably an insanely successful conqueror, and it just stops there. Massively expands Germany. Leave Britain alone. Certainly don't go to Russia. Why are you going to Russia? What are you, a moron? Just stay. All right, you took Poland and everything, France, and good work. Just stay. Could have just stayed. But there are far-off lands. I have this great army. I could use it. They'll build statues to me. I don't know what you want me to tell you. Donald Trump's not the first, and he won't be the last. 1,000 years from now, if Jesus hasn't come back yet, somebody else will be sitting behind a microphone talking about another foreign leader or domestic leader. They do these things. It's what they do. We still have an hour. Let's move off this crap. I'm done with it. Let's talk about something great. Let's talk about preborn. Let's talk about saving the life of a baby. We talk about enough ugly things. Lord knows there's enough ugly things out there. Let's talk about introducing a mother to her baby. How do you do that? When it's inside of her belly, how do you do it? Ultrasound. When she hears the heartbeat. Ultrasound is what brings it home to her. If she's been lied to, she's scared, she's stressed, she's about to lose all her hopes and dreams. Abortion seems so easy, but man, once you hear that heartbeat, now she's a mom with a baby to protect. Introduce that mother to her baby. Preborn will give her a free ultrasound. If she needs more love and care after that, they'll give her that too. Go to preborn.com/Jesse. $28 buys that life. Preborn.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As America marks its 250th anniversary, we're looking back at 2.5 centuries of rebellion and liberty through the eyes of the heroes who defended it.
The whole thing about this country is freedom. If we're not careful, we could lose that.
On Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage, we bring you the defining moments of valor that went above and beyond the call of duty. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.